No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about Indiana Humanities' statewide all-in campaign. If you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by giving us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, all three of my guests today have a role in this new all-in campaign, starting with Kara Amstutz, who's the president and CEO of Indiana Humanities, George Hanlon of Flashpoint, an all-in participating company, and Joe Thomas from the University of Indianapolis, which also will be participating in all-in. Welcome all of you to the program.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Well, Kara, I'm going to start with you since I think you're the obvious one here. First, tell us a little bit. Give us an overview of what all-in is.
All-in is a digital competition that encourages Hoosiers to complete a variety of challenges. So All-In's goal is to inspire the people of Indiana to learn more about our state, to connect to each other, and to find ways to make Indiana even better.
How do they, you say it's a digital challenge where they ask, what sorts of questions? I mean, are there samples, are there tests, or something we could give to get the flavor of?
Well, there's something for everyone, John.
Okay.
So if you're the kind who likes to take a quiz, one of the challenges is to take a civics quiz. So
none of my students will. Yeah, I have yet to meet a student who says, oh, yes, please give me a quiz. But
so All In has eight different categories of challenges, and the civics quiz is in the participate area. So you're learning a little bit more about the civic infrastructure of the state through that little quiz. And the questions we've taken from the naturalization test and also from IUPUI's Center for Civic Literacy. So we hope people will check out that little bit. Some of the questions or some of the challenges in All In invite you to perhaps take a picture of something. For example, a hidden Indiana gem. Maybe that is a landmark. Maybe that's a person. Maybe that's a special place to you. So that's something you can share. And then some invite you to pipe in your opinion on a topic such as in our read category, we ask you to tell us about a character from a book that you'll never forget. So there are all kinds of different challenges, lots of different ways to participate.
What was the genesis of this? I mean, how did Indiana Humanities come up with the idea of doing All In? Let's start with that. How did it start?
It started in kind of a dark place. And that was the Indiana Civic Health Index.
Okay.
So for any of you who have flipped through the very lengthy but important document that was produced in 2011, and by the way, an update's on its way. I understand that the State Bar Foundation will be updating the Civic Health Index perhaps even later this fall. But that document gave us a lot of, I think, things to think about in the way people participate and engage in the state of Indiana. We're good at a couple of things. Some of the things that we're great at is we love to join groups. We volunteer. We engage. But when we engage, we don't always work together to solve problems. We also don't vote or engage politically at a very high level. We also have found that, I guess one other bright spot is we do eat dinner together regularly with family and friends. We do convene, but perhaps we're not using that convening to really dig deep and solve Indiana's problems. So All In was a way to think a little bit about the challenges presented by the Civic Health Index, to get people more connected to the state and each other, and maybe have a little fun.
And George, Flashpoint is participating. Could you talk a little bit about how you're participating, and maybe we can take that to the point where we talk about how people buy into or have a role in the campaign.
Sure. So as Kara mentioned, there are eight categories of challenges. Each category has two different challenges in it, so 16 total challenges. And I decided to create a program where we did a different category each week. So we'll do the eight categories over 2 months, essentially, here during the summer. And I decided, because we're a pretty competitive group, to put some competition behind it. So I've come up with a scoring system. If We have about 10 employees that have said that they're going to participate. Some are participating more than others. Some I tell them that they're half in instead of all in. But anyway,
okay,
if you know, I give a category each week with the challenges, and if you complete the challenges, both of them, you get 2 points. And then there are ways that I can give bonus points and things like that. So, for example, today I sent a pop quiz out asking certain questions. This week we are on the Remember category, so we're in our fourth week. And Remember deals a lot with Indiana history. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, and we haven't talked about this yet, Kira hasn't, but on the website you go and you log in and you take your challenges, and in each category that there's information then about whatever you're talking about that week. So, for example, in the Remember category that we're doing this week, there's a big graphic that Kristen at Indiana Humanities Design showing key points in Indiana's history. So I asked questions about some of those. I threw in my own questions so they would have to go research a little bit more. But anyway, I told everybody, do your pop quiz, and if you get all the answers right, then you'll get a point. And if you get first in with your answers, you get a point. So there are other ways that I add to it and make it more competitive and fun. But that's generally how we're taking part. And I put up an office in one of the rooms in our office, I should say, cheats each week where people log their answers. Or maybe if it's more visual, they may take a picture and post it. And so we can all go and look in and read and see what other people have shared and what they've been doing and have conversations around that. So that, in a nutshell, John, is how we're taking part in this.
Okay, so your workforce basically is doing the challenge.
Yes.
And it's a 2-month process.
So each week I'll say, okay, you know, here's our new category. Here are the 2 challenges. Of course, encourage them to get online and take part. Like I say, you can log in and keep track of your challenges. That it has a nice feature where you can share to Facebook what you've done. And I know some of my coworkers are taking part in that. So they're sharing on Facebook their answers to the challenges and things like that. So, yes, each week I give them the challenges and they have a week to do it. And then at the end of the week, I will mark off who's completed the challenges and things like that and give points.
George raised a great point about participation. So because this is a digital program, we're encouraging people to share how they participate. So you may share your participation through Facebook. You may share it through Twitter. And we also have a neat feature for folks who want to participate in groups like George's team. We can send you every week the new set of challenges for the week if you want to participate in it that way.
Okay, I did not know that.
Well, see, there you go. We've all learned something new today. So if you want to participate as a group, let us know, and we can send you then weekly the challenge with the information and make it really easy. But it is a fun team-building effort, and I think you guys have learned a lot about each other
in the
process.
Oh, my gosh, yes. You know, and the point is you're not just learning about civics and community and Indiana, but you're also learning a lot about each other. The things that people are sharing are insightful. For example, this week you share a family photo or a story, and then you talk about your Indiana anniversary.
Your Indiana-versary.
There you go. So you know, I learn a lot of people about people's backgrounds and where they come from, and of course their interests, because they talk about their favorite book character during the read category. That's one of the challenges I think Kira mentioned earlier. So it's just a great team-building effort as well. Not only are you learning a lot about your state and your community, you're learning about each other, and I think there's a lot of value in that.
Joe, tell me a little bit about how University of Indianapolis is participating.
During Welcome Week, students move in about 5 days early before classes actually start, so we have a lot of time to really acclimate them to campus, get them connected with each other, other students, other student leaders. And when we found out about the All-In Challenge, what a perfect way to also engage our students in Indianapolis, the city. The university's tied very closely, obviously, to the city, but we haven't been able to get students downtown and engaged in such a way. And the structure of the challenges that Indiana Humanities has created was a perfect venue for that. So we are going to take our entire first-year student class cohort downtown the day after move-in and give them some a little bit more specific challenges, but going along with all these themes as well, and requiring that they visit some locations in downtown Indianapolis, including the State House, Old City Hall. We're going to drop them off at Monument Circle. They'll be in small groups, so there's that engagement with each other as well, and serves as sort of an icebreaker. But also, if you're from Indianapolis, you may not have been in all of these places, so we're actually connecting the local environment too. So they'll have Unlike George, where they're doing a topic a week, we are giving them about 3 hours to complete at least 10 challenges is our goal. So they'll be running around the city, and UND will be invading downtown Indianapolis that day. But our goal is to have them complete as many challenges as they can. We're creating a finish line of sorts where they will actually go to White River State Park and meet with organizations from downtown Indianapolis and engage with them as well. And of course, we'll give out prizes and things. But it's just meant to be a fun way to engage students as they just arrive on campus. They don't know each other yet, but also intentionally getting them involved in downtown and showing them around.
We are talking about Indiana Humanities All-In, statewide All-In campaign here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, Kira, you know, this sounds like a pretty sweeping campaign and with multiple entry points, ways for people to take part. What defines success for Indiana Humanities? I mean, what do you hope to achieve out of this? Is it moving the numbers on the, you know, the next Civic Health Index? Is it in terms of just generating a massive amount of participation? What are some of the goals?
You know, that's a really smart question. And one of the things that we're excited about, having a first-of-its-kind digital program for us, we're going to be able to track a lot of the participation metrics. We're going to find out what kinds of challenges people really enjoyed, what they did with it. We're going to take this content, take what we've learned from how people participate, and we're going to use that and share that, and hopefully through that process generate a much broader conversation about the state of Indiana, where we are, where we're going. In fact, the other inspiration for this program was the upcoming state bicentennial in 2016. So although I think it might be a little bold of us to say we think we're really going to move the needle on the Civic Health Index and perhaps climb the ladder a little bit there, I do think we're going to be very excited to see significant participation from all 92 counties. This is what we're shooting for. We are looking to engage school groups, corporations, universities, churches, people where they gather, and in the process, hopefully then take what we've learned and continue to refine this program, and then we'll freshen the content in another year or so.
Are there particular areas in that Civic Health Index that you wanted to target more, I mean, areas of deficiency that you thought could merited greater engagement on the part of the Humanities Council?
Well, I would say
Indiana Humanities. I'm sorry, I slipped there.
That's all right. We had a name change a few years ago. We're all still training ourselves.
Yeah.
I would say that the probably starkest information from the Civic Health Index was in basic civic engagement and participation. So thinking of things as voter registration, voter participation, and general interest in discussing politics and being engaged in politics. And we are a nonpartisan organization that does not deal with those particular partisan sides of the issue, but what we do care about is, are people engaged, are they aware, and are they participating? Because we know that's very important to democracy. And I guess the other inspirations for the program beyond the Civic Health Index, we travel the state as part of our work. We work, from Evansville to Angola. I mean, we are everywhere in the state of Indiana. And some of the things that we're hearing from Hoosiers is they wanted more tools. They wanted more fun ways for people to engage, connect, and learn about the state. So I would say those were the two primary inspirations for putting this together.
And for that reason, are there certain parts of the project, the campaign itself, that target those areas specifically?
Correct. So the eight categories in All In are explore, discover, read, remember, participate, connect, reflect, and dream. So I'll give you an example. One of the things that we hear a lot about is that Indiana, we know, is a much more diverse state than people think. We have immigrants from all over the world coming to live here and thriving. We have a lot of diversity, rural and urban. The northern part of the state is very different than the southern part of the state. So part of what we wanted to tackle through All In is helping people understand some of that racial diversity and geographic diversity.
We'll pick up on that theme after the break. We are talking about Indiana Humanities' statewide All In campaign. My guests are Kira Amstutz of Indiana Humanities, George Hanlon of Flashpoint, participating in the campaign, and Joe Thomas from the University of Indianapolis, which is also participating. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about Indiana Humanities' statewide all-in campaign. My guests are Kira Amstutz, president and CEO of Indiana Humanities, George Hanlon of Flashpoint, company that's participating in All In, and Joe Thomas from the University of Indianapolis. UIndy also is participating in the campaign. Kira, before we went to the break, we were talking about how one of the goals was to highlight the somewhat surprising diversity of the state, too. The fact that most people still tend to think of Indiana a little bit as a monolith, and it's far less so than they realize these days.
So some of the fun ways that we help folks that are participating in All In understand the rich diversity that exists in Indiana are through the challenges. So I think some of the challenges in the Explore category are very fun and have been incredibly popular so far. So the first challenge in that category is to listen to music from another country. And we worked with a local nonprofit, Cultural Cannibals, who curated a playlist of music videos from the top 10 countries where immigrants are coming to Indiana from today. So you can learn a little bit about our new neighbors, our new immigrants to Indiana, through their music. And another challenge asks Hoosiers to try an ethnic restaurant and perhaps discover a new culture through food.
We've gotten a question via Twitter, and if you'd like to reach out to us via Twitter, you can find us at WFYI. The question is, how does the all-in zip code feature work? But I think probably before we get to that, so that if people actually want to kind of play along here while we're talking, is there a URL they could go to that would take them to the all-in?
Thank you for asking, John. It's indianahumanities.org/all-in.
Okay.
Backsplash. That's not the right word.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Backsplash.
Clearly, you're remodeling a kitchen.
Yes, I'm thinking about something else.
Okay. So give it again one more time, please.
IndianaHumanities.org/all-in.
Okay. So we'll get the Twitter question then. How does the all-in zip code feature work?
I'm really glad that the listener raised this point. So Indiana Humanities is statewide. We're encouraging people across the state to play. But when you go onto the site, it will either find you. If you click the I'm In button, it will find where you are and populate the hashtag with your zip code, or you can type in the zip code of your choice. And that way, your participation will be tagged where you are. And, for example, my hometown is 46742 up in Steuben County, and I'll be able to follow along and see how Steuben County folks are participating in All In if they use that feature.
Okay, so it doesn't necessarily have to be where you live. Can you participate from several different zip codes if you want to?
You can, and it's a fun way to search and see who's participating. So since we've just launched the program a few weeks ago, that'll be one way we can kind of track and see who's participating and from where.
And you mentioned earlier that you wanted all 92 counties to participate.
You bet. That's a little bold, but we're going there.
Well, I'm assuming once they put the put the zip code in, you can track that. I mean, do you have an idea how many counties you have representation from so far?
That's a great question. I haven't checked that stat yet. I know we have over 500 folks getting the email and participating already, and we have dozens of companies and universities and individual groups already participating.
We've gotten another tweet, a listener named Robert, who says, any thoughts on incorporating ingress into the community integration aspect of the program? Probably going to have to explain what that is. Do we know?
Well, I'm wondering if this is part of the acclimation process for new immigrants. Is that what the tweeter is asking?
Yeah. Roberts, again, it's hashtag ingress into the community integration aspect of the program.
I'm not sure how to respond to that.
I'm reading a letter. Okay. Robert, if you would like to follow up and give us a little more context here, we'll try to get an answer to your question. So, and George, you mentioned earlier that in addition to learning an awful lot about the state, your employees or the fellow employees at Flashpoint were also learning an awful lot about each other. Mm-hmm. What sort of things are they learning about each other? What is it revealing that you didn't know before?
Well, for example, this week is, as I mentioned, Remember. So my coworker Nancy talked about how her family came, I think just right after the Civil War, and told a little bit about her history. I have a coworker, Linda, who's very active in the theater. So when we asked for an Indiana gym, she took a picture of the Footlight Musical Theater at 19th and Alabama here in Indianapolis, and not only included a picture of the theater, but a picture of her and one of the roles that she was in. She talked about the history of the theater. I think Civic Theater must have started there. So she had an old photo from days gone by, and so really got a sense of, I already knew that Linda was involved in theater, but certainly I'm sure a lot of our coworkers didn't know as much that she was so active in that. My coworker Megan, for that same challenge, took pictures of herself along the White River Trail, and I didn't know that Megan was so much into biking, but she took pictures of it and had a map of the trail system, so just so clever. I really wasn't expecting all of this in-depth participation and the creativity. So just learning about people's interests, where they come from, the reading question asked about, you know, favorite questions. So my coworker Krista talked about how her favorite character was Pip from Great Expectations. Brought flashbacks back to ninth grade English class. I'd forgotten all about. Well, I remember Miss Havisham. I don't know what that says about me, but yeah. So she talked about Pip and why he was so important to her as a character, and it really helped me focus a lot on. I know Krista pretty well, but an aspect about her that I just didn't know. I'd never heard that she was so interested.
Kira.
I love hearing George tell these stories because I think it reinforces the notion that we had when we were creating All In, that this is a great way to engage the talent that's on your team and connect that talent to place. One of the things that we do know is the more connected employees are to where they are, and the more that they're engaged in their workplace, the more likely they are to be happy in their job, mm-hmm. to stay, and to be engaged in their community. So I think George has given us some great examples of how that sort of played out in practice, and that was really one of the secret evil plans behind All In, that we thought this tool could be helpful
sure.
to companies.
And I will say, the work that we do at Flashpoint, we're a talent management consulting firm. So our goal is to help work with organizations to maximize the employees and the employees' contribution to the organization so they can achieve their strategic goals. So we work a lot with managing people and developing managers and developing leaders and making organizations attractive places to work. And one of the things that we find that is we're working with organizations that it's hard to find talent these days, and especially young talent, the millennials that companies are trying to draw. They're very much interested in place, and I think that's why you see such a surge, especially in Indianapolis, with local businesses like, you know, Sun King beer and local restaurants. And there's this drive for place. Place matters, and younger people want to live in this sort of neighborhoods where they interact and communicate with neighbors and engage. So I think that the more that companies can help employees feel that and understand place and put an emphasis on local aspects, I think that helps them be attractive. And in something like All In, I think if any organization were to do that for their workforce, that really, it like I say, engages people and makes them feel connected and an attractive place to work. So this is a key tool, I think, that all companies could use to drive home that point.
We are talking about Indiana Humanities' statewide all-in campaign. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Joe, what do you hope the students will get out of participating in all-in? I mean, you've got, 600 students who are going to be doing this scavenger hunt. What's going to constitute success, other than I'm assuming none of them falling into White River?
That would be one.
Or getting lost along the way or anything like that.
That would definitely be one checkpoint. That's why we're putting them with student leaders, too, so we don't have to worry about
that
aspect of it. We've had a successful day if we get students downtown and just exploring the city, to be honest. Our goal is 600 students. Our freshman class is looking to be bigger than that, and I think that's a lofty goal for us too. I mean, to bus 600 students downtown. But the day when it wraps up for us is a success if we see smiles on faces, if each of our students have learned something new about each other, new about the city and the state, and that they had a good time doing it. I mean, they're with 10 challenges and in different locations. They're going to be doing quite a bit of walking and running. So hopefully, it's a beautiful day like today where Going to knock on wood for that. But
yeah, contingency plans if it's pouring rain.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of our locations are inside, so I think that students might hibernate there for a while. But also going somewhere where they haven't been before and thinking about the buildings that are around us and what they mean instead of just driving by them. You know, when you're going to a restaurant, one of our challenges, for instance, is to go eat an ethnic food, and we're working with India Garden. So many of our students may never have visited India Garden, but they're going to go there and they're going to get a free sample of some type of Indian food, and we think that's really cool and something that they may not have done without this challenge being in place. So it's exploring something new and having a good time while doing it. If, as long as they get to White River and there are smiles on faces, I'll call it a successful day.
And Robert has gotten back to us, who sent the question, says, Ingress is a geocaching game from Google. Players explore it all over the city, or explore all over the city and state or local points of interest and landmarks. Any plans to incorporate this type of program? The objective is to investigate and capture the points. Indiana has a great community for the game.
That is a brilliant connection, and this is going to be one of the great benefits, John, of you inviting us on our show today. We're learning about other ways to connect. So, Robert, I'll be looking into that.
How should Robert contact you if he wants to, you know, talk with you about how you would integrate this?
That would be great. Our website is indianahumanities.org, and our emails are available online. So please reach out to us, Robert. We'd love to talk to you about it. Great idea.
We've also gotten an email from a listener, and if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so by sending it to nolimits@wfyi.org. All In sounds like such a great resource for teachers. How could this program be adapted to serve as a resource in the classroom, Kira?
That is a terrific question. When we were testing the concept of All In, we employed a couple of classrooms of students, because we know that kids are very critical and very smart and also very good with technology. So we wanted to make sure this passed the test. So I'll give you an example of the Canterbury School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We had a group of middle school students who used All In for about a month as a class. And the teachers created writing prompts from the 8 different categories. So the students who were going to be writing essays anyway, John's smiling because, of course, he loves students writing.
I'm sure that brings joy into your heart.
But they use these as writing prompts. They use the facts on the website as additional ways to get students to learn about Indiana history and about their communities. And it was a tremendous success, and we learned a lot from the critical eye of the Canterbury School students. So we hope lots of teachers will engage, and in fact, we have toolkits and information online that can help teachers and students in the classroom participate.
Joe, how did you guys find out about All In, and how did you make the decision that, in effect, you were going to use this as part of the academic experience?
Right. I'm fairly new to UIND. I started there in June and am brand new to Indianapolis. So
okay.
The university already had a connection with Indiana Humanities and in our division. And so I just got on board with it. And it's actually served as a really great resource for me being new to the city. So it made perfect sense to connect it with our students as well, because it made me feel more at home, made me more aware of what's going on downtown, and to have a relationship now with Indiana Humanities. They've already helped us with other service projects that we're working on in the future. It's just turned out to be a really great relationship for me as being a new professional in the city. I'm sure that the students are going to engage and find the same benefits from that too.
Got an email question from a listener named Adrian. Says, in regards to All In, how can people who aren't on social media or using their computers as much as the younger generation participate? I'm thinking, and this is a great question, Adrian, because I'm thinking of someone like my own mother, you know, who approaches you know, working on the computer with the same sort of enthusiasm most people approach having a root canal. So is there a way to do it, to take part if you don't want to participate digitally?
Yes, there are a couple of ways. One, the way George has described, perhaps you have a group, maybe you have a book club, and one of you can be the ringleader, and you can come up. We have a scorecard that that we can send to you that lists all of the challenges, and you can use that as a way to participate. But we also have another very fun resource. We've created a little card deck that's on a ring that are little plastic cards that have many of the facts that appear online. They also have the specific challenges and then some open-ended questions that might engage your group in wanting to learn more. I tested these cards out on my family at a dinner not too long ago. And John and I have teenage girls, so we know this is not always easy at dinner time. And I posed the questions, and I will tell you this. We have never laughed so much at dinner as we did that night, seeing how everyone answered the questions, what they did. So it is a really, you can participate in All In with the cards, with the prompts, if you are not interested in the technology aspect of it. So thanks for that question, Adrian.
We are talking about Indiana Humanities' statewide all-in campaign. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, it sounds like you've got 500 people, you said, Kira, who are – now, does that include, like, groups like George's, or, you know, it sounds like, you know, Joe's going to pretty much double your enrollment here in a single day on August. I mean, how are you tracking participation? Is it only the emails, or are there other ways?
There are multiple ways. So one is the email. So the folks who have actually just signed up to get the weekly emails, that's well over 500 now. Then we have groups like Joe's who are you know, waiting in the wings to participate. We also are going to be able to track individual challenges, and who shares, the folks that share their results through social media will be able to track that. So we have a pretty good system set up, at least within our technology, to know. And then we're also keeping track of the school groups and perhaps the library groups and other folks that we know that are participating. So I would say in another couple of months, we'll be able to talk more about numbers and reach. But just realize that this content is going to be live for a year, and then we'll switch content and have a new set of all-in questions moving forward. So, for example, with George's team, you know, they may be very excited to do this again next
year.
Sure,
I think so. Everybody talks to me how much they love it. Even the pop quiz today, oh my gosh, I love this.
So in that way, it's not like college at all.
Exactly. No, these are genuinely fun challenges, and they engage you, and they make you learn in a fun way.
So are there certain challenges? Are you able to track which ones seem to be more popular than others, the ones that get more traffic perhaps?
I'll tell you the ones that I think have been the most popular so far. Okay, one of the things that we know through the research that we've done in the world of the humanities is that people love Indiana history. Mm-hmm. They love history in general, and they really love Indiana history. And this whole notion of declaring your Indianiversary has become very popular. So, Joe, your Indianiversary is pretty recent.
My Indianapolis anniversary would be pretty recent. I've been in the state for a while. I did my degrees here in college, but I haven't been to Indianapolis. So either way, I have multiple stories to tell.
When did you come to Indiana first?
I would have first moved to Indiana in 2004. So this is my 10th Indianiversary.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, part of the fun that we have in declaring your Indianiversary, John, is so if you're playing in person and you come to one of our, by the way, we're having launch parties in every congressional district around the state, and we're doing a lot of in-person events to get people, you know, like Joe's team, where you can complete a series of challenges all at once. And one of the ways we ask people to complete the Indianiversary challenge is we have a big timeline of Indiana history, and we have people write where they come into the timeline.
We are talking about Indiana Humanities' statewide all-in campaign. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about Indiana Humanities' statewide all-in campaign. My guests are Kira Amstutz, president and CEO of Indiana Humanities, George Hanlon of Flashpoint, a company that's participating in all-in, and Joe Thomas from the University of Indianapolis. UIndy is using all-in for a scavenger hunt for more than 600 freshmen on August 21st. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do what Linda did and shoot us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Linda says, I have thoroughly enjoyed being involved in All In. As a transplant from the West Coast, I had no idea of all that Indiana has to offer. I visited places I otherwise would not have, and I've learned so much about Indiana's heritage and diverse culture. Thank you. Well, Kira, that's got to make you feel good to hear.
Well, I'm thrilled that Linda had a good time, and I hope that she'll persuade others to join the all-in team. She definitely qualifies as what we call an all-in all-star.
Well, and is this, I mean, it sounds like from what Joe is saying and Linda, similar themes here, that it's also if you are just coming to the state, that it's a great way to learn about the place where you have relocated. Was that one of the goals or the purposes of it, or is that sort of an accidental benefit?
I would say that was probably a little bit more accidental. However, we do know that, you know, back to the point about history in general, people do like to know about their place, and they do like to know a little bit about the roots, whether you're a newcomer or someone who's been here a long time. So I think anyone will find some surprises along the way.
George, since your company's participating mm-hmm. in this pretty aggressively, mm-hmm. what's been the hardest? Which challenge have they found to be the most difficult so far?
Well, I would just have to speculate based on participation. They didn't do a very good job in the read category. And that the two challenges there are to talk about a favorite character and then to share a book with someone. And that one was the one where we had the least participation. I don't know. Maybe, John, it's a fact that they were busy last week. I don't know exactly why, but that's the one where they've had the least participation rate. So I'll say that.
Okay, and is the go ahead, Kira.
I just wanted to pipe in and mention we had a wonderful blog post that was written by Sky Blue Window yesterday. I think it was Hugh Vandeveer that put this one out, mm-hmm. and he enjoyed the read challenge. And I think Hugh was very creative in how he completed the give a book category. So what he did at his place of work is he's a Vonnegut fan, so mm-hmm. the Sirens of Titan. He put a note on the book and put it in the cafeteria, and the note said, "This book is free for you to take if you, 1, did not read a book last year, 2, have not read any Vonnegut, and 3, promise to read it and drop it off somewhere with a similar note."
Gosh,
and I thought that was a wonderful way to complete that challenge and to hopefully inspire someone to read something new.
Is the book supposed to have an Indiana connection, or can it be, I mean, we were talking about Pip and Great
sure.
Expectations. Is it any book anywhere? But
any book. So the two challenges are the simple challenge is tell us about a character, and then the more advanced challenge is give a book to someone. And in fact, on the site, you'll note that our poster child for that particular challenge is one of our great partners, Gary Dick at Inside Indiana Business. And Gary gave a book to a colleague in Goshen that meant something to him that he thought would help that individual. So it's really all about the giving. No need to have a tie to Indiana.
Okay. So is there a... Of these challenges, which ones seem to be the most labor-intensive, other than the fact that, you know, Joe's going to run a small town all over Indianapolis for the better part of a day?
Yeah, Joe, what has been the hardest to pull off from a labor standpoint?
That's a good question. I think we wanted to tie these challenges to locations and keeping it close to the circle so that we weren't exhausting students. It's just tying them. We didn't know how we would get students to bring a book with them. So
right.
I think that for this year, we...
That won't just be a challenge on that day,
we're,
by the
we're
way.
Just going to send them to the library and look at books that day.
Yeah.
That's all right. That works. That works out. I think one of the ones that will require just a little bit more effort, John, is back to the civic engagement and participation piece. The advanced challenge on the participate is finding someone who represents, you know, finding a politician who represents you, whether it's at the local, state, or national level, and sending them a note about an issue you care about. So that does take a little bit of thought, time, and effort. But we do have a link there so you can immediately find out who represents you, which is a really wonderful feature. We didn't develop it, but we did link to it, and it's a great way to find out who your representatives are.
And I'll chime in here and, again, just reiterate the fact that it's not just challenges. When you go to the website, there are so many ways to connect and learn and links to different sites. You know, with the Read, for example, you can link and find where your local library is if you need to find that out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Kira just talked about the representatives. You can find where your representatives are. So all sorts of information out there. Later, I think probably next week and participate also is how does a bill become a law in Indiana? So there's a lot of informational aspects to this to help you learn. So hopefully we do improve in that civic and that index. you're talking
about. I'm glad you mentioned that, George, because the other thing, back to the teacher point, so if there are mm-hmm. teachers listening, there are these beautiful infographics that have been designed by Kristen Hess on our staff, and one of our favorites is the history of Indiana and 30 facts, and then the other one is how a bill becomes a law in Indiana, and I think, you know, again, really, your students may like that, John.
Well, no, I was going to say that would be new. I hope you're sharing that with the legislators, too.
Because well, we have two terrific legislators on our board that helped us draft it, so it's terrific. But those are examples of things. One of my other favorite features, we have a few polls on the site, and one of them invites you to check off what would be on your Indiana bucket list. So I don't know if anybody else has made a things you want to do in Indiana bucket list, but that's another fun conversation to have.
Now, Kira, are you doing the challenge, too?
Oh, you bet.
What's your favorite part so far?
You know,
step away from being CEO and president, just someone who's participated. What's the thing that surprised you or has been the most enjoyable?
That this has been embraced by so many different kinds of people. So at Indiana Humanities, we don't serve one narrow audience. We bring public programs in the humanities to the people of the state of Indiana. And this is one that's hit on mm-hmm. younger audiences, older audiences, and every audience in between, and it's really been a bridge. So that is exciting to me. But I'm very fond, as I've been participating through All In, of any of the challenges that have visuals, that you share a photo or you share something. It just feels very intimate and interesting, and it's a fun way to share what you've learned.
George, how about you personally?
Well, I'm
aside from flashpoints.
Sure. Well, John, I'm crazy for Indiana and Indiana history. I used to work at the Indiana Historical Society for 11 years, so this opportunity to sort of be the ringleader and help my coworkers take part in this has been really fun. You know, I hate to repeat what Kira said, but I love photography as well, so I like the visuals, and I like going out and taking photos and posting them to my board. And collecting, this week was Remember, so I collected pictures of my family from their farm up in Jay County, Indiana, and sharing those. I like the visuals as well. I enjoy writing, but somehow just that visual component is fun. And just the discovering and going out and sharing the gems of the state with people and just seeing what people share as well. So, gosh, I've listed off so many favorite parts. I don't know if that really helped much.
Joe, how about you? You say you're using it to sort of acquaint yourself with an adopt. Where were you from originally?
Originally from Danville, Illinois.
Oh, okay. So you're not that far.
No. And I visited Indianapolis my entire life.
Okay. Yeah, that's where people from Danville come to shop and take the airport and all of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Danville's an interesting little place in and of itself.
And now I'm in Indianapolis.
That's right. So what have you found that's interesting?
It has forced me to connect with the city in a different way than I would have without the challenges. Like I said, I've been to Indianapolis several times before actually moving here and knew that it was a destination of mine. There have been a lot of great changes in the city, but driving by the State House all the time, have never been inside, never have found a reason to go and engage with the building or see even what it's about. And with this challenge, that's actually where our students are going to go to find their elected officials that represent them. So I had to go into the State House and find out how they would actually do that through social media. So Twitter has become such a powerful tool for us, and there are pictures of all the state legislators right there in the State House. So it was a perfect venue for that. And for me personally, I now have connected with people at the State House, people at Old City Hall, in different locations that I'll be able to use to help UIndy and tie UIndy closer to the community as well. So I'm really looking forward to kind of what's to come from it. But just in my short time of being involved in here, it has really bridged a lot of gaps that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
We are talking about Indiana Humanities' statewide all-in campaign. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. So the campaign launched just a few weeks ago. It's going to go, you said, for a year?
For a year. We're already working on new content because this has been so part of what we've learned in the process. And as we make new friends and as we make new discoveries, we're already generating content for the next iteration. So, yes, we'll go on for a year and sometime next spring we'll be launching new content.
Are you already hearing? I mean, I'm sure there have to be some people who are sort of overachievers and have run through all of the challenges already saying, you know, can you give us something more?
Absolutely. That's what's happened. They said, okay, well, I'm done. So what else? So part of the what else is, I think it's as fun to follow along and see how other people have completed it once you've had the experience. So we're now figuring out how to package and share through social media, through our website, through our newsletter, these wonderful stories of how Hoosiers have engaged in the program so that you can continue to learn along the way. And many of these challenges you can complete multiple times in multiple different fashions. So you don't, I mean, if you are that much of an overachiever, that's great. Now, if you're like some folks that George has identified that are only half in and not all in, we actually don't care. We encourage, you know, cheating, sharing, engaging in whatever way that makes sense to you.
So in that way, it is like politics, but that's okay.
But we just want people to engage however they want and enjoy.
And I will also add in, Kara, isn't the goal to help inspire people to think about other ways to get involved? So let's say the challenges are done. What other ways can you get involved in your community organizations to make a difference and to explore the state and be involved in humanities and civics and that sort of thing? So, hey, you know what? If you've done with your challenge and you've discovered, well, what other ways can you discover? Get in touch with Indiana Landmarks. See what sort of trips they're taking across the state and participate in those. And, you know, if you've participated and you've learned about your elected officials and you've written to them about an issue, what are other ways that you can stay involved in that issue that's so important to you and make a difference, right? Isn't that ultimately what the goal is? You've got challenges out there. Go find them yourself.
Well, I believe there are plenty of challenges that we can all remain engaged in. And the website with the additional information beyond the challenges, it is a great connector to other ways to participate and other information on ways to stay involved.
Well, I'm going to ask George the same question I asked Kara early on, what constituted success from the Indiana humanities perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. Among other things, any company's got a limited amount of time,
sure.
energy, and focus,
sure.
and you're devoting some of that, some
sure.
of those resources
yes,
to this effort right now. What constitutes success for Flashpoint, for a company like this that is participating?
Sure, and just to sort of talk on that point, when I sent my little pop quiz today, I said, work, who needs to work? You know, find some answers. Yeah, it is an investment, and I'm so grateful to my company that they're allowing us to do this. It does take a bit of time. But success for me, do people understand better where they live? Do they value the institutions that make up this community? Are they inspired to engage more civically? Do they have a way to make their state better? Like Kara said, you know, part of it is to make this place better. So one of my challenges as the facilitator in this is we've had a fun time with these, but as the project wrapped up, let's spend some time talking. What does this mean? Mm-hmm. You know, where do we take this? We've done the fun stuff, but what do we gather from this, and how can we use this to have an impact in our communities? And I think the conversation that we have will be helpful, and I'd be glad to share that with you just to see what's the bigger picture here.
And that's really kind of a reflective piece.
Yeah.
I guess I'd like all of your thoughts on that as well. Is I've asked from your rather narrow perspectives here, what constitutes success, but as citizens of the state, which we all are, out of participating, because to strip away all of the flourishes here, this is really an exercise to force you to learn a little bit more about the place where you live. And as such, what lessons do we hope as Hoosiers to take away from participating in this? Kara, I'll give you the first word.
I go back to the notion that this is a way to generate connection and conversation. And I think part of what we take away as Hoosiers is that this is a special place, it's a great place, and there are ways that you can make it better through your own participation.
You know, I drove to Detroit on 4th of July, and when you drive 4.5 or 5 hours, you have a lot of time to think. And, you know, I think in America, we do a good job of celebrating the people that fight for our freedom. And you look around Indianapolis, for example, and we have memorial after memorial to people who fight. But we as citizens who didn't have to go through that owe just more than gratitude. We have to also protect the American dream. And we have to make sure that we are engaged and we understand our responsibility in democracy, and we, as citizens, educate ourselves about the issues, and we get involved, and we participate by voting and writing to our legislators. We have a responsibility to keep the American dream alive. So my goal in all of this, you know, with All In, is to, like Kira said, connect people better, understand how to be involved in your community, take pride in your place, and actively participate.
Joe.
My job at UND really surrounds the issue of retention, and students are coming to UND to learn about the career that they aspire to attain, and part of that is the connection to the university and feeling like you're at home, you're meeting friends, and you're engaging with all the resources that the university offers. I really see this as the same way on a larger scale. You have to connect with the state and with the town, and you have to feel at home here. You have to understand where it's been, where it's come from, to know where it's going, and to know how you can play a role in that. I think this part of this challenge is teaching me what is my place in Indianapolis, just working and living here now, and I'm one person, but I can have an impact, and what can that impact be? I think this is a way to educate our students that not only to get involved at UND, but also in the city.
Getting an email from a listener named William, I'm going to try to squeeze in here, says, how does All In include the contributions from German immigrants to Indianapolis and Indiana? The German contribution is great and often overlooked. Kira?
That's a terrific question. I would say there are some very famous Indianapolis Germans included in the site. We don't have any specific.
Like Kurt Vonnegut.
Yes, of course. Kurt Vonnegut is clearly involved in the site. This site is not comprehensive, and there isn't a full history of Indianapolis or Indiana within, but there are a lot of teasers of ways people can learn more, and I think that's about as well as I can answer that specific question.
Real quickly, because we're almost out of time, give people the URL again so that they can participate.
Okay, and let's see if I can do it right this time. So indianahumanities.org/all-in.
I'd like to thank Kira Amstutz, George Hanlon, and Joe Thomas. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us in this fascinating conversation. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.